the common good. See, that was a picture of a unified team getting from point A to point B. Today I want to share a message about unity, about the spirit of unity, because I believe it's no different in the church. See, on that team were different sized people, different strengths, different weaknesses. But when they worked together as one, they got from point A to point B. When they had the ability to realize that the person in the front is just as important as the person in the middle, who's just as important as the person in the back, they worked together and they got from point A to point B. And see, we need to come to the understanding that God has called the body to become unified. Unified with one another, but before we become unified with one another underneath the mission and vision of who the church is, we need to become unified with God himself. See, it's hard to be part of a unified body of believers who believes in the fullness of Jesus Christ, the mission and vision of what's called to that church, to that house, without first having a relationship with Jesus. And so today I'm going to share a message with you about just that, about becoming unified, first and foremost with God, with the relationship with God, with the Word of God, and with the plan of God for your life. Because once we get to that point, then we have the ability to recognize the call on the house. Because when we realize and understand the call of the house, and you understand who you are because you fit in the house. If you look around here today, there's no two people the same. You don't look the same. You don't smell the same. You don't have the same teeth, the same eyes, the same hair. You don't dress. There's no one perfectly matched identically. And that's awesome. Because the body has many parts. And all the parts don't look the same. But when they're functioning in their role, they fulfill the purpose of what the body needs to do. So don't try to be like the person next to you. Don't try to be and work in the giftings of the person next to you. Work with the giftings of who God's called you to be in this body. And if you don't know them, you'll learn them when you align yourself and become unified with God individually. Because when you find the gift and the talent, how God will use you, when you see the body and you get plugged in, then you become part of that unit in a different dimension. So I want to share that message with you. You ready for that today? You open to receive it? Now, some of this you might not like to hear. Some of it you might not like to hear. Y'all clapping now. Yeah, Pastor! Woo! Until I say we have to die to self. And you're like, what was he talking about? No. So I talk about how selfish ambitions must die. And how we must look to our brother and say, they're more important than I am. Till I say, you know what, I got a million things to do, but I know my brother or sister needs something, so I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of this because I know God's leading me over here to raise their arms and hold their arms up. You see, it all preaches, we're going to be unified and God's going to move. Until we realize what's important and needed to become that body. Are you with me today? Yeah. All right. Now, let me preface this. I said it earlier. If you don't like it, take it up with the Father. Don't send me an email. Crazy email, because it just gets dropped in crazy email folder. Don't send me a letter unsigned because I don't respond. Take it up with Jesus. But God has a plan for you. Individually, but God has a plan for SCC. See, we're just not to be some pretty-looking building on the corner of Lakeview and 20. We're to be a wrecking force for the kingdom of God in our community. We're to impact North Evans in Derby. We're to impact Angola and North Collins. We're to impact Lakeview and Hamburg. We're to impact, Eden. We're to impact going out towards Gowanda and Irving. Not because we can, but because we're called to release Jesus to everyone that we come into contact with. And we do it effectively as a unified body. And each and every one of you are a part of that in a key role. And so, if you have your Bibles, if you have a phone, an iPad, a laptop, whatever you have your Bible on, open it to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. I want to read two sections of Scripture to you this morning and then jump into this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. And it says this. I'll give you a second to get there. So far, so good? All right. Here we go. This is Paul, and he's like, listen, this Bible's titled Having an Attitude of Christ. And he talks about, you know, what would make him happy for these people, and the whole underlying message is being like Christ, moving like Christ, releasing what's within you, but being in unity. And here's what the word says. It says, if there's any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy. That's what he said. He says, if God's love is moving and the Spirit is happening and there's fellowship and there's tenderness and compassion and outpouring, then make me happy by this. Agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose, which is unity. Don't be selfish. Here we go. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interest, but take an interest to others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus had. Let me jump to Acts chapter 2, verse, because I'm going to show you this in action now. In the 42nd verse of Acts chapter 2. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals in the Lord's Supper and to prayer. See, what it was the body of believers, they came together. They cared about one another. They loved each other so much that they actually ate together. They lived in the community together. They knew that each other was there for another. They prayed together. They studied the word together. They went to church together. They did everything together in the spirit of unity, and they were seeking the face of God through prayer. And it says that a deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miracles, miraculous signs and wonders. I believe that verse 43 is linked to verse 42 because of the spirit of unity, because of the spirit of oneness, wanting God to move, to do what he wanted to do, to be a part of what needed to be done. It says, and all the believers met together one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions. They shared money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper. In the New King James Version, it says they worshiped in one accord, in unity. That's what that means. And then it says in verse 47, and while they were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people, each day the Lord added to the fellowship. In other words, the word spread because they saw a group of people who were living one thing, preaching the same thing, and releasing the love of Christ in a unified state. And lives were changed, and the church was growing. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask that you would continue to anoint this service today. Father, you have a plan and purpose. Fulfill it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may grab a seat. And so I want to share this word because unity is the condition of harmony, the quality or the state of being as one. It's being joined together. It's being joined together for the common purpose, forming a complete and pleasing whole. And that's what God has called us. He called us to be as one with him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be one with the triune God. He called us to be one with one another. And our goal today is to see that come to pass. I've been sharing, and each week the Lord is taking myself and our prayer groups to be praying for the prophetic words that have been spoken over this church to come to pass. Because I've been telling you that God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So though God spoke something May 17th, 1992, if it hasn't come to pass yet, it shall come to pass. Why? Because God declared it. But understand this, for it to come to pass. Now, God can do it, but there's some things usually when God speaks a word, he will declare something into the atmosphere. He'll declare it through a person, through a prophetic word, through a song, whatever it may be. God would speak a word to a people, whether a corporate people or an individual people. But when God speaks that word, there's always a few things that we need to understand. That when God's word goes out, there needs to be a response from the people. There's always that word, but, or if, or and, or when. So God speaks a word and says, I'm going to do this, but I need you to do that. So in other words, if I'm not doing that, then how could God do what he promised? Well, he can because he's God, but you understand what I'm saying, right? And so here's a word regarding unity for the body of believers here at church and even those who are visiting, because the message of unity is for everybody. See, it says this, very simply spoken, May 17th, 1992. Man, I was just out of high school a few years. I had a mullet. Wow, that's a long time ago. But it's a powerful word that is today relevant. It says, look to your left and to the right. These are those that I have put here to accomplish my will. Only you must be in unity. Look to the person next to you. Look on both sides, front and back. The Lord's saying that this church must be a unified body with one another. If you're not from this church, I would encourage to tell you this, that you must be unified with your church that you attend on a regular basis, with your people. It's key, it's important, it's needed, it's necessary. It goes on and says that only you must be in unity. There can be no division or strife among you. You must have a common goal, a common vision, that is to see my will and my purpose brought forth here. And when it's an individual unity with God, it's to see the common goal and vision that God has for your life to come to pass. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And he goes on and he declares a few things. He says, I will establish my work here, and I'm going to be a shining light in you and here on this land. He says, but do not let each other down. Don't let one another down. Don't let disunity settle in with your relationships with those around you. How many of us know that we all have different attitudes, right? We all live on different sides of the tracks, right? But we can't allow those things to bring disunity. We can't allow it to break the harmony that God has called us with him and with one another. See, it goes on, it says that you must come together with one mind, one soul, one body, and one desire, and which I have said will happen. And he goes on and says many things about what he was saying would come to pass. He says, but you must do your part. Here it is. God will do this, but you must do your part. You must seek me wholly. You must set aside those things that stand in the way that are coming and closing me out. Oh, come on, God, really? See, it was great talking about the blessing. It was great talking about the outpouring. It was great talking about how God would move and how God would heal and how God would restore. But then we get to the, but you must not allow those things that block me out to be a part of your life any longer. Come on, somebody. How many know that that's not easy? But I'll tell you this. I said it the first service, and it's so true. I don't need to preach a message to you about what's wrong in your life. Do you know that? Now, if the Lord wants you to preach a message, I'll preach whatever God says. Because most times, I know for me, I knew what was blocking the move of God. I just was either ignoring it, not strong enough because I really didn't want to make the change necessary, but I knew what was holding God back. I knew what I was pushing and building up to stop the, y'all with me? And God's saying, you can't allow that barrier to break what I want to do, to stop, to hinder my move to bring unity between yourself and me, but also unity amongst your brothers and sisters all around you. If any time in America we need more unity, is right now. It's right now. And let me give you a little secret on this. I believe it's the church's responsibility to do something about it. We need to stop sitting back as the church and saying, let the politicians fix it. Let the teachers fix it. Let the doctors fix it. Let the local... No. How about letting God fix it through a unified body known as the Church of Jesus Christ? For such a time as this, this word is in season, that we need to stop looking at each other cross-eyed and saying, well, you know, only if. No, only ifs. That's a child of God. That's a child of God who has a plan and a purpose that is within them that God wants to release through them. We need to look at each other and say, brother, sister, I have your back. Brother, sister, I am with you. I got you. I got this one with you. For such a time as this. I see that when I preach stuff like that, people are like, oh man, I got to do something now. I got to actually talk to somebody that I've never talked to before in church. I got to give them my phone number to call me. I got to reach out in time of need. I need to call them to see if they're okay. I got to give them a word of encouragement, even though I'm just going through living hell right now. But the Lord just put on my heart to speak a word of encouragement. See, that's when we put everything aside and we realize the importance of it. And so the word continues to go on and on and on. And it's all about unity and what we need to do. And it's a word that's in season. And so the word came and was given as I studied all week to get ready for this, for us to really embrace this word of unity. And the unity's in two areas I'll deal with today. Unity with God and unity with the church. See, unity is not an option any longer. It's not something we say someone else can do. Unity is a must. Unity is a must. It's no longer an option. It's no longer, well, let them do it, or we'll let... No, it's a must that we must all engage in, that we must make the necessary changes to be a part of. And the first part of this unity is the one that deals with God himself. That you and I individually become unified, aligned with God Almighty. See, and this unity begins at the realization, the recognition that I'm a sinner, that I need the grace of Jesus, that I need the love of Jesus in my life, that I'm a wretched individual, that I'm not who I think I am. Because if I am who I think I am, it's way off kilter, because a lot of times we think we're much better than we really are. But we come to the realization that I need Jesus, I need the power of the Holy Spirit, and I need the Word of God in my life, and I need to know the plan that He has for me. And so the alignment with God starts right there, and it starts recognizing who Jesus is. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the Son of the living God, who realized there was separation between mankind and himself. He says, I don't like the separation. I want restoration. I want reconciliation. I want relationship. I want friendship. I want to be a part of their everyday lives. I want them to dream about me. And so what he did was he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And my alignment begins when saying, I need Jesus because my life is empty. I try to fill it with everything else in between. I try to fill it with stuff and things. And I get involved, and it doesn't fill the desire and doesn't quench the thirst. And so it comes to a basic understanding that it starts with salvation. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. But beyond the next step of the salvation experience of praying the Lord's Prayer, we come to the realization then that I then have to continue now in the discipline of aligning with God's Word, aligning with who God is. And so it's done through prayer. It's done through worship. It's done through meditation. It's done through the disciplines needed and necessary to grow my spirit man within me. It's more than 60 minutes on a Sunday morning. Oh, those 60 minutes are beautiful to spend with you. They're amazing. But it's more than this. So if I'm going to align myself with God, it's more than this. It's more than this. See, it's realizing that God told us that he would send a counselor, one who would strengthen and give us power and give us what is needed for every day. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. And it's asking God for the wisdom that's needed, asking God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. See, this is how we align ourselves with God. We have the salvation experience through prayer, asking Jesus to forgive me, to come into my life, receiving him as Lord and Savior, understanding that after that point, I have to go on and do what is necessary to grow as an individual, as a disciple, as a son, or as a daughter of God. And in that growth, I need the Holy Spirit as part of my life, because with him comes wisdom, with him comes strength, with him comes everything that I need to make it through each and every day, moving forward and not backwards. Amen? So we pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But let me just say this to you. I gotta give you a quiz, okay? Do you want to see where you are on that whole spectrum of where you are with God? Here's your test right now. Ready? It's gonna hurt. I'm just telling you, it's gonna hurt. What's your fruit? What's the fruit? Oh, come on, somebody. I know I got some old school church folks and Pentecostals in here. What's your fruit? See, because here's the deal. If I said the salvation prayer, if I've been having my disciplines of being in the presence of God through reading, through prayer, through meditation, through worship, through all those things necessary, I've asked God for wisdom, and I've asked God for understanding, and I've asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then there has to be fruit of what I've been asking for and what I've been doing. The fruit. Are we loving greater? Are we loving with an Abba love, an agape love? Are we full of joy even when life around us looks like it's falling apart? Can we stand on joy? Is there peace about us? Do I understand that when I'm in the midst of a trial and a tribulation that I will suffer through this, but by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the strength of God, I will come through the other end unburned and untouched? See, what's the fruit? When you align with God, there's fruit. Now, if you don't see the fruit, then let me encourage you. Trace that vine back to the main one and plug it back in. Plug it back in. Do you ever vacuum? Husbands, if you haven't vacuumed yet, y'all come down for prayer after service. You ever been vacuuming before? And you think you got a little extra cord? And you just got that little section, and you go too far, and the cord pops out, and the vacuum cleaner stops. But you know that you got to fix that. So what do? You trace yourself back to that plug, because once you got unhooked from the power source, you lost what was needed for that vacuum cleaner. So you actually walk your body back to the plug, and you're smart enough, you say, well, if I plug it back there, it's going to do it again. So you find the power source of the house is all connected to the main power. So I'm not saying you go to another power source, but you go to the plug that's closer, and you plug back into the power source. And then you have the ability to finish vacuuming, and you know what? Happy wife, happy life, Fenton. Happy wife, happy life. Amen. Grab yourself a dust rag and some pledge as well. I am just saying. If your wife doesn't talk to you that much because you're watching TV or you're doing this and she's doing everything, oh, you better do something. And don't buy the appliance. Say, but baby, I bought you one. I told my friends one time, like, what are you getting your wife for Christmas? I said, a vacuum cleaner. They're like, what? I said, whoa, time out. See, right there, time out. Right, time out. You want to know why? Because that's what she asked for. And as a loving husband, you try to give everything that your wife asked for. Now, trust me, she'll tell you, this guy vacuums. I'm all about it. No problem vacuuming. No problem dusting. No problem shoveling, cutting the grass. Happy wife, happy life. A unified body as one in the house, a unified individual with Jesus Christ, a unified church body right here loving one another. So our unification with God starts with that relationship, but then it goes to the Word. So not only am I unified with God, but I'm unified with the Word of God. Do you know that the Bible says in 2 Timothy that the Word of God is inspired by God and it's profitable. Profitable. All right, here's the deal. If I said to you today, I need $100 from those of you who are willing to invest in what I'm going to tell you to invest in. But when you give me the money, I'm going to tell you that, thank you for the money, but I'm going to invest this, and I know already that it's not going to turn a profit. You're going to lose it. How many of you would invest? No one, right? Why would you invest in something that you know isn't going to work, that you know is going to fail? Yet God says, when you align with me first personally, then you go to the next step, because as your growth is, we got to align ourselves with the Word of God. And Timothy said that the Word of God is profitable, profitable for life, profitable for decisions, profitable to move forward, profitable to grow in a greater dimension. See, because the Word of God is infallible. It doesn't lie. It has no errors. The Word of God is complete. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. It's complete. It came from God himself, given to man to write. The Word of God is authoritative. Forever, O God, the Word says, your Word is settled in heaven. The Word is the only source of absolute divine authority. See, so it's profitable, and we need it to align ourselves with God. It's totally sufficient for every one of our needs. I don't know about you, but I got some needs. None of you have needs. Or you have to figure something out. Or I got decisions to make. Well, it's profitable because the scripture in Timothy 3 continues to say, for correction, for instruction. it does these things for you and I. And so I have to align with the Word of God. But then not only am I aligning with the Word of God, this is the third part before I get to the church, because we run out of time so quick when God's doing something amazing, is that we're to align ourselves with the call and the purpose in our lives. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know what that is yet. Then I would say this, are you plugged in? Are you plugged in to the source? Are you in your Word? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you having your own little worship parties in your living room when no one's around? Are you coming into the church during the week saying, Pastor, I just want to lay on the altar prostrate before God? Are you in a small group? Are you taking notes during service? Are you listening to the next podcast that's preaching the Word of God uncompromised? Are you doing those things necessary that positions you in a place where God could speak to you the plan and purpose that he has? See, we all have a plan and purpose. We read in the Bible, whether it's from Adam and Eve to Moses to Abraham to Joshua to the prophets to Mary to Joseph to the disciples. They all had a plan and purpose, and you and I are just like them. We all have a plan and purpose for our lives, but we have to discover it. And we discover it by aligning ourselves with God. We have to align ourselves. We have to come in unity with God. And when we're in unity with God, we discover the Word, because we can't walk around living out of the Word, out of the call and the mission that he has for us. Do you know what happened when I did that? I paid a lot of money in extra student loans I shouldn't have. A lot of money, because I went from school to school trying to figure it out until finally I aligned myself one day. I'm done. It's all you. We align ourselves with God. See, that's how we get unity with the body. It starts with coming into that personal relationship. It's aligning with the Word, and it's aligning with the plan and purpose. And let me say this as an added note. Because your purpose or your plan is not someone else's, is not what someone else may be telling you it is, don't listen to them, listen to God. I've had more kids as a pastor tell me, well, your son's going to be a worship leader. Your daughter's going to be a missionary. No, she's not. No, he's not. Well, how do you know? Well, I don't. But what I do know is that God has given them a plan and a vision for their lives right now. And they'll walk that out until God might redirect and do a little couple different things. But all I know is that my children love God, they listen to his voice, and they're walking in the path that they've called them. And so I'm not going to allow you to speak something that's not of God into their lives regarding what their plan and purpose is. And so we can't allow other people to tell you what we should be doing, who I should be. You know, I keep telling myself I really am a worship leader. You all know that. I tried this morning even. I can lead worship. I can sing in tune. I can belt it out with the best of them back in the 80s. No, I can't do any of that. So to try to tell me that I am living out of my call. So we align ourselves. But then it gets to this. So we're aligned with God individually, which takes us to this building and to other buildings like this all over America, which is the body of Christ. We have to come in alignment with the body. We have to come in agreement and unity with the body of Christ, the church itself. The body is made up of many with one call, one vision, one mission regarding the church itself. And so we need to understand that in the spirit of unity, in becoming who God wants us to be, fulfilling that prophetic word, we have to come into alignment with the body of SCC. Now, I know some of you may be visitors. Thank you for being here. And if you choose to make this your church, then this is what you would come in alignment with. And if you're visiting, I encourage you to go ask your pastor, what is that mission and the vision at your church? So you can decide if that's the alignment that God has called you to do or to be a part of. But I know one thing, in order to align with the churches, you need to know who the church is and what the church is all about. See, let me just clarify a few things for you as you become a unified body under Southtowns Christian Center. See, I need to say this first and foremost, that SCC is a church that's spirit-filled. Y'all hear that? Spirit-filled. Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, spirit-filled church. That's who we are. You need to know that. Why are you telling me, Pastor? Because we had people here who were here for years and says, we're leaving the church. We're like, why? We're like, because you're spirit-filled. Really? You've been in the pews for 2 years. You saw people fall in the spirit. You saw prophetic words giving. You saw healings taking place. And now you're telling me you didn't know we were spirit-filled? Really? Well, listen, SCC is a spirit-filled church who believes in the fullness of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, with the moving of signs, wonders, and miracles. That's who we are. So can we come into unity with that? We ask that question. We need to understand that SCC was founded on Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20, roughly in that area. It's about where Jesus sat down. And he said, you know, today I read the scrolls. Today the prophecy has come to pass. I'm anointed. I'm going to release what I have to set the captives free. It's on the back wall. And so when we align with Southtowns, we say, I agree with what the church is founded on, and I'm a part of that anointing. I'm a part of that releasing. See, that's who we are when we agree and come in alignment and unification with the body of Christ. We also say this, that at SCC, we're going to fulfill that and become a people that God wants us to be by sharing and demonstrating the word of God. They're right there. So we become a people that shares and demonstrates the love of Christ into other people around us. We take the gospel, the unfailable truth of God's word, which I just talked to you about, the profitable word of God. And what we do is we take it and we release it to other people through word or through deed. It doesn't always have to be, brother, I got a scripture for you. No, it could be like, hey, I heard your brake job, you need some brakes. You know, I don't do brakes. You don't want me, but I know a friend who does, so I'm going to call my friend, and we're going to come over, and we're going to help you, because I know that you need help. See, I'm showing the love of Christ. I'm demonstrating it indeed. See, that's who we are. So I'm aligning myself with that. I'm aligning myself with, I'm going to release the life-changing power that has filled me, which is called the Holy Spirit. I'm going to release it wherever I go. Now listen, that means with my unsaved family, my crazy uncle, my crazy uncle. No, I'm serious. He's the greatest person to be around. He's so much fun. He's out of control. He needs Jesus. I tell him that. He needs Jesus. So what do I got to do? I got to love him. I got to talk about Jesus to him. I got to release the presence of the Holy Spirit every time I'm around him. It's the way it goes. So I'm aligning with that as the part of SCC. But let me take it a step further. See, SCC, if I'm going to align ourselves, we need to understand that there's pillars that God gave us in the whole transition of where we're going. That I understand that prayer is the most vital part of this ministry, because without prayer, nothing happens. And so I'm going to connect myself to a prayer group. Now, I know prayer groups aren't exactly the greatest thing, the most fun thing to get involved in. Oh, we're having a prayer group. Woo-hoo-hoo, I can't wait to go. I'm going to stand and just talk to God into the air for 2 hours. Yeah, you know what? In that two-hour time, something might actually happen. And so we understand prayer is vital. We understand that small groups are so important for the growth of us individually. You can't eat just an hour a week. You got to eat throughout the week. In your personal time, well, take it a step farther. Get in a small group. Why? Because it's in the small group where disciples are made. It's in the small groups where mentoring takes place. It's in the small groups where questions get answered. So we believe in small groups. We believe in covenant relationship. We believe that every person is important. You need to understand, as a pastor, I believe you're important. I believe you're an important part of this ministry because you're part of the family. You need to understand that. And we understand that, and we're going to talk about it this year. We're going to talk about the importance of actually membership and why we should be a part of the membership of SCC. We understand and we believe in outreach. We believe in missions. We believe in reaching the nations, but we also believe in reaching the person next to us. We believe in reaching the one in from California to Erie, Pennsylvania. We believe in reaching our neighbors, our family members. We believe in outreach. We also believe that we're going to make the Sunday morning experience the greatest that we possibly can. Give you an opportunity to worship. Give God an opportunity to move. I was at a place one time, mind-blowing, and there was an altar call. The person tapped me on the shoulder. It was a rally, a youth rally. It was with all my people, my young adults, my teenagers, the college-age students. We were loving Jesus. There was a major altar call. Probably 50 to 100 kids at the altar had a tap on the shoulder. They're like, "Pastor?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "The pizza's here. We got to shut this down." I'm like, "So a slice with pepperoni and mushrooms is more important than that young man's soul?" I says, "You just need to step back." I was blown away by it. But we believe in giving an opportunity for the heavens to open and the Spirit of God to descend. So when you align with the church, or this church, that's what you're aligning with. That's what you're coming into unity with. The fullness of the Spirit. The various things of the people we want to become. The founding scripture. All those things. But also, understand this. When you align with the church, you also align with the fellowship of each other. You can come up. We're going to start wrapping this up. We're going to align ourselves then with the body. See, this is the tough part. Now I'm going to wrinkle feathers. I'm going to upset some people. I probably know I'm going to, but that's okay. See, this is where this section actually gets to know this section of people. Not just from over here. Not like that. But actually walking over. "Brother, I have no idea who you are. I notice you sit here. Thanks for being here. What's your name?" Where we do this. Where we say, "Hey, you know what? I've never stayed in the cafe, but I see you go to the back. If I go to the cafe, will you sit with me today? Will you have a cup of coffee with me today?" See, this is where this section knows that section. This is where that section becomes friends with that section. That's where you walk and talk to the worship team. And the worship team comes down and talks to the congregation. See, that's the importance of the body. If the pastor, if the worship team, if the Sunday school director, if the elders are too busy or too important to talk to you, run away. Run away. Now, if they're an appointment and they have to reschedule, that's different. But if a pastor or a leader can't say hello to you, run away. Run away. See, when you can play, I'll just scream louder. Sound guy will turn me up a little louder. See, so we come into alignment with one another. And we go back to Philippians because Paul says, "Listen, if you want to make me happy, understand the right resources which are found in Christ, the encouragement, the comfort, the fellowship." So we take what we have in Christ, but we release it to those that are with us. We show the same comfort. We show the same resources that were released in Jesus that we received to the person next to us. See, it goes on in verse 2. It says that we develop the right attitudes. that we become like-minded under the guise and the mission and vision of the church, and also like-minded with who Jesus says we are. We become and we have a loving attitude towards one another, united in the same spirit for the same purpose. The purpose of SCC is to build the kingdom of God, to love people, to do what is needed to make them move forward. So we line up with that. We also develop the right practices. We forsake selfish ambitions. This is right in the word I read to you. We practice humility. We take care of our own personal business in order to have humility. We get ourselves right so we can, to have unity, to get in unity. We look at the interest of others and we take heed to what's going on. See, can I just share in closing what happens when this goes on? Of course I can. I'm the pastor. I have everyone's attention. There is a game today, too. But it's at 1. It's 25 after 11. We got a lot of time. We do need to pray after service together if you'd like for a win. But that's a whole other message in itself. So what happens when we become a unified body? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. You ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. See, verse 1 says that they were all together in one accord. Verse 2 starts out and says, suddenly. Everyone say suddenly. Suddenly the heavens opened up and the presence of God descended upon his people. When you and I become a unified body, when you and I are walking in the plans and purpose that God has for us, when we're doing and being the church of Jesus Christ that we're called to be, just maybe suddenly, no, not just maybe, yes, it will suddenly happen. The heavens will open up and God will do a miracle in our lives. God will do something that's spectacular. That's what happens when we walk in unity. You know what else happens when we walk in unity? Let me take you back to Exodus, the 17th chapter. A man named Moses, they're in battle, and the Canaanites are in battle with them. And all of a sudden, Moses is standing there. He's got his hand stretched up in the air, and the battle's going, and the Israelites are winning, and things are happening. And all of a sudden, Moses is getting tired. And as Moses is getting tired, his arms are going down. The minute his arms are going down, they begin to lose the battle. But when we're in unity, we do what Aaron and Hur did. They noticed that there was an issue with their leader, with their friend, with their brother. And so they walked and they stood next to that individual and they raised his hands back up. See, in unity, we see the hurt. We see the one going through something. We say, brother, we're not gonna cast you out. Sister, we're not gonna blast you on Facebook. We're not going to put Twitter and tweets about you, but we're going to stand at your side and we're going to love you with the unconditional love of Jesus Christ because I'm aligned with him and I know in my study it says that I'm to encourage you and to be at your side and don't listen to the lies that the enemy is trying to spew about you. But let me hold your arm up, sister, because as I hold you up, victory is coming. Amen? Because why? Because suddenly the unified body, the heavens open up and God moves. Let me take you to the walls of Nehemiah. Oh, the wall needed to be built, didn't it? It needed to be completed. But because of the unified state, because of what Nehemiah was doing, because how God was moving, it said that that body of people came together and they worked back to back. Some worked and others guarded. Some worked and had a sword for protection. When we become a unified body, we fulfill the purposes that God has for us in our lives individually and the corporate call over the church. And watch what will happen because we stand side by side, watching for one another, encouraging one another. Why? Because suddenly, something, you guys are getting this. Suddenly, something happens. Let me take you to four friends. Four friends are gathered. They realize the fifth has an issue. Realize the fifth, anyone got any friends that have issues? How many of you have issues? All right, my hand's up too. Sometimes when you have issues, you need someone to walk with you. Actually, sometimes when you need issues, you need someone to take you somewhere. And see, what happens is, in the book of Mark, I believe it's the second chapter, four friends realized the fifth person had some issues. And so what they did was, as a unified body, they picked that man up. And they carried him from point A to where Jesus was preaching the gospel message. In a house. But they got to the house was full. So they said, hey, you know what? Let's just dump him here and walk away. No, they didn't say that. They says, we got him all this way. He needs Jesus. So we will do everything that is necessary to see this man touched. So they cut a hole in the guy's roof and they dropped him down before Jesus. And Jesus healed him and touched him. Why? Because they started out saying, we're going to come together as a team for this brother, for this sister. And we're going to take them where they need to go. And you know where they took them? To the foot of Jesus. Don't take those in need anywhere else but to the foot of Jesus. If you know what I'm now listen, if they're bleeding out, you got to take them to the hospital. I get that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Okay, but you use common sense, okay? But took them to Jesus. Do you know that in the spirit of unity, the power of God is truly moving? See, because the Bible says when two or more are gathered, it says what? He is in our midst. So when we gather together, we cultivate an atmosphere because we're like-minded underneath the mission and vision of what this body is, underneath the mission and vision of who we are as believers. Although we look different, we dress different, we smell different, we come from different backgrounds, live in different communities, have different jobs, but we're unified. And when we gather, we cultivate that atmosphere because we're a team, we're a family, where the presence of God consumes. God is calling for us to be unified. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And very simply, I'm going to ask you this question. All this starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you asked Jesus to be a part of your life? That's where it starts. Can't even get to the church thing yet until we get to that. If you have not asked Jesus to be a part of your life, we need to pray for you. The sinner's prayer. Is that anyone in this place? Is that anyone in this place? You've never prayed the sinner's prayer. Never asked Jesus to be a part of your life, to forgive you. No one. Everyone's good? All right. Let me ask you this. Maybe circumstance, whatever, you've kind of walked away a little bit, but today something inside of you said, man, I need to get back. Anyone in here we need to pray for with that? Got a couple. Anyone else? Anyone else? Here's what I need you to do. I need you to run down here real quick. Run down here real quick. Stand right here. Stand right here. Run down here real quick. Clap for them. You have no idea what that walk does. Right here. Anyone else? Scott, pray with them. Rededication. Scott is one of our elders. He's going to pray with you. Rededication. Hey, brother. It's great to see you this morning. God bless you. All right. Scott's going to minister with them. All right. Now it gets to the unification of the body. I'm going to say this morning. Some of you have said this. Well, I don't need anyone else. Yes, you do. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care. Because we all need somebody. We need Jesus Christ and we need people in our lives. And so I'm going to encourage you today to make it a point to engage with other people. I'm also going to say this. There are people in this sanctuary right now that have issues with one another. Those issues cause disunity. No one needs to know that you have issues with someone else. You know and they know. I would encourage you today before you leave, whether in the parking lot, in the cafe, or in the sanctuary after service, to walk to that person and ask for forgiveness. Make the situation right. Become a unified relational body of Christ. Amen? Amen? See, because pride, because arrogance, because anger, because unforgiveness, unfaithfulness, because of a multitude of reasons, there's disunity. We got to get those things right. Because God's got a plan and purpose, not only for you as individuals, but for this body, for this community. But I want to pray for you right now. If you want prayer to embrace more of what God has, if you want prayer to embrace the bigger vision for this church, run down here. I'm going to pray over you. Run. I notice there's some of you. Run down here. Come on. Come on. Run down here real quick. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. Just run down here. Now, if you're I'm trying to teach everyone. If you're in the pews, I need you to stretch your hands forward. This is where I need you praying in the Spirit. This is where I need you interceding on their behalf, that God's going to do something in them. This is body ministry. I need you praying with me for these individuals, for what's going to happen, what's happening here. Father, we thank you for those who came down. Father, I declare that this day, your word spoke to them in some way, shape, or form. Father, you displayed to them the importance of unity. You've displayed to them those things which could cause disunity. Father, you talked about aligning themselves with you first individually and your word, also with the plan of purpose that they have for their lives. Father, you've also shown them the importance of the unified body here at SCC, that we're to be one, to be like-minded underneath the mission and vision. Father, to be a part of that. Father, you've done a multitude of things and spoke a multitude of things to your children here. Father, I declare that this day, that each one of these individuals, Lord, would be touched in such a dimension that, Father, things would come to pass. That, Father, in Jesus' name, there's no more want. There's no more waiting. And there's a release in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, today is the day not only of salvation, but of outpouring, of growth, of release, of blessing, of abundance, 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 abundance in Jesus' name. Father, today is the day, Father, where your sons and daughters will be brought into the throne room in a greater dimension. That, Father, the anointing and the presence of your Holy Spirit will consume them, Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. For you have a plan and a purpose beyond our own understanding. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.